Justin, what's the overriding feeling after that?
I think a really huge disappointment. I thought our preparation was brilliant. We came into it, coming to the first test really encouraged, really upbeat. We knew that we were evenly matched with Pakistan in terms of ages and games played. But to go away 1-0, and particularly to play like we played in this test match after having Pakistan on the ropes in the first session, it was very disappointing, yeah.
Is it a case of running the events after lunch on the first day through the head a fair few times?
Yeah, I didn't sleep very well that first night. I almost had this... We had them 5 for 50.
57.
And that night, and it's what Pakistan ended up with, 280. I know how hard Test cricket is. When you've got people on the ropes, you have to capitalise, particularly a team like this. And particularly they had Mohammad Abbas, who bowled beautifully throughout, and we knew Yasir Shah. If they're 5, there was plenty in the wicket. It was spinning early. I thought we bowled really well in the first session. So my instincts told me it was going to be hard to bat on, and it proved to be that way. So, yeah, I didn't sleep much day one. You never like letting an opportunity go, that's for sure.
Justin, with the batting collapses, what's the plan? Because, I mean, Tim was just touching on it there. Great, he spoke to us the other week that, like, it's a bigger problem than just this team. You know, if you look at Shield cricket and the averages that guys are bringing, How do you tackle this in the short term and the long term?
Yeah, it's a really good... And today's actually a good day to talk about it. If you look on this round of Sheffield Shield cricket, I know a number of the states have also had some big batting collapses as well. So, and I've been in the state system watching for a long time, and I've watched this, and I think what I'm really intrigued about is that you're not allowed to use the word technique anymore, but actually technique. I remember playing... This is not for your camera, but Lindsay Stevens, the golfer. I remember having dinner with him. Everyone says, all mental. It's all mental. You know, it's all about the mental side of the game. And I thought, that's interesting. Yeah, that's what everyone says. But Lindsay Stevens, the golfer, told me at a dinner one night, I'd rather have a guy with a good technique who's a bit softer mentally than a guy who's really mentally tough with a really bad technique. This is in golf. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, if you've got a good technique, you hit most balls down the middle of the fairway. And over time, you'll develop some confidence and you can learn concentration, and that's how you get mental toughness. If you've got a bad technique and you're hitting the ball behind the trees or in the rough, well, it doesn't matter how mentally tough you are. Eventually, you're not going to be able to be hitting it into the hole that often. And I think it's the same with cricket. I mean, I was brought up in Australian cricket where, you know, we did a lot of bowling machine work and we did a lot of talk on technique, you know, and technique to me is about footwork patterns and playing forward when it's full and playing back when it's back. So they're just really basics of the game, particularly in footwork patterns. And you talk about the great Australian players, they move their feet like boxers, you know, or every one of them, they had footwork patterns. And then from there you have the skill of run scoring ability. So it's a really important thing. So the technique's really important. And I think now there's a lot of talk because of white ball cricket that you have wide stances and you just stand and deliver. Well, that's okay. But even in T20 cricket or one day cricket, and most certainly first class cricket or test cricket, when the ball starts moving around, if you don't move your feet, then you're going to come unstuck. And I think that's something that we all have to, in Australian cricket, we have to work. There wouldn't be a state coach out there who would be saying it's all rainbows and butterflies out there after this weekend's cricket, you know, because of the collapses. So there's certainly some focus we have to have. There's, as we see this just this week, you know, we've got to work out with, we've got a test match here or first class cricket, then we've got some T20s coming up, and then there's some one dayers. So the schedule is what it is. But in terms of that, you know, the great players are able to adapt, and they've most of them got a good batting technique and the skill of scoring runs. So we can't sugarcoat it any longer, I don't think. We've got to, you know, if I'm a young batsman in Australia, it's a pretty exciting time. If you work really hard on your basic game and you learn how to make runs, then, you know, there'll be huge opportunities in the Australian cricket team.
Justin, Sean Marsh is obviously having a bit of a slump at test level. Do you want him to play as many Shield games as possible before the summer, or do you back him in the ODIs, given that he's obviously in form in that format as well?
It's a really good... Soss has obviously had a poor series, and he knows that. I mean, you can see it in his face. He knows he had a poor series. So then you get the balancing out right as a selector. On merit, he has to play the one-dayers. In his last 5 one-day internationals for Australia, he scored 200s. So you've got to be fair. You've got to be fair, and you've got to reward people for performance on the... flip side of that, by playing the one-dayers, then he might not play shield cricket. But having said all that, to me, runs are the currency of value. Whether you're making them in T20 cricket or one-day cricket or Sheffield Shield cricket or Test cricket, the only currency of value are runs. You know, that's just the truth of it. So there's a balancing act there. And we usually talk about it with our fast bowlers, how we get the manage the bowlers. But it's the same with our batters now. We've got to manage it. But the message has been since day one that you've got to be a good bloke and you've got to score runs. It cannot be a more simple message than that. And that will continue whether you're playing white ball cricket or red ball cricket. So, you know, time will tell. I would say Sean will play the one day is because it's hard to leave him out because he's got 200s in his last five innings, and you've got to be fair. One thing about selection, you've got to be consistent and you've got to be fair.
So I think you consider Sean one thing, but you consider other players as well, not playing him if they're the first choice right for a team, not playing him.
No, probably not, Louis. I reckon you've got to pick your best T20 side, you've got to pick your best one, because if you ask the players, they want to play for Australia, right? They want to play international cricket. That's what they love doing. They like playing for their states. But you love playing international cricket. That's what we're doing. So we've got to pick our best T20 side. Obviously, there might be some management of some of our bowlers, for example. And then you've got to pick your best one-day side and your best shield side. And then when it comes to tests, I say your best test side. And that's how the selection should be.
Justin, Sean and Mitch both had very good Ashes series at home last summer, batting in the 5 and 6 positions. They moved up the order in this series, albeit in different positions, and it didn't work out. I mean, are you looking ahead to the home test summer, not just personnel but batting positions in terms of best fit at home?
Yeah, it's been one of the challenges we've had, because if you take Bancroft out, who is the opener, and all of a sudden all shuffles, and then you take David Warner out, then you had Usman Khawaja batting at 3, and then you had Steve Smith. You take those 3, and we always knew this was going to be a challenge. You take 3 batters, two outstanding players, and a young guy like Bancroft who was just finding his feet. Of course, we had to shuffle it. And then Matt Renshaw, we knew the straight up, I've said it before, he didn't play because he hadn't played any cricket. So then, and Marnus had shown some signs in the Australian A and with his all-round stuff. So, yeah, we were going to be challenged with that. And then, of course, Uzi, you know, then we've got to shuffle him back up there. I mean, we've had our challenges. We've had challenges through suspension, challenges through injury. But again, if you're playing in the Australian, you've got to grab your opportunity, don't you? Sometimes you might have to bat out of your spot, but that's the business we're in.
Justin, aside from Uzi, obviously, if he gets up, how many players from this top six, are any of them locked in for the next match? I mean, how open are the...
Yeah, we're in a much different stage of Australian cricket history, aren't we? Usually you guys have heard me say it before, it's usually harder to get out of the side than it is to get into the side. It used to be a beautiful thing. Well, it used to be, and if you were the hunter, it used to be a shocking thing when you were playing. If you were the hunted, it was like, well, that's sort of good, but you knew the hunters were coming at you all the time. So there was always pressure. And in this instance, you know, I thought Finchie played pretty well. You know, he did really well, and he'll learn a lot from this series. I was really impressed with Finchie. I thought Marnus played particularly well in this innings. He had a brain fade in the first innings. So yeah, never seen anything like it. Two days, like, mate. I've seen some stuff on the cricket field. I've never seen that ever. Like, literally. And Marnus knows, so I'm not burning. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life until I saw what happened yesterday. So I thought Marnus played well in the sand, and his leg spin was a real revelation for us, wasn't it? I mean, I thought he bowled beautifully. As a young leg spinner, there's huge upside to that, I think, in all forms. I thought, obviously, Uzi played really well, and he'll have his knee operated hopefully on sooner rather than later, so hopefully he'll be right for the first test match. The other guy, Travis Head, I thought Travis Head played well. I mean, he had a brilliant innings in the first test. He looked... what I like about Travis Head is his development. You know, he's working hard in his game. The way everyone used to say can't play spin, well, he's worked hard on that. I think he played a cut shot today. Usually he plays from... I'm getting a bit technical here, but we're talking batting technique, aren't we? Which I love. I love batting, I tell you. I love batting. That's what's killing me at the moment. But he usually plays his cut shot from leg stump. Today he played a beautiful cut shot where he's out and he covered the off stump. I mean, Sir Donald Bradman would have been happy with it. He got right across, played that late cut for four. His feet, I like his development. And obviously Sean and Mitch haven't had their best series. So, but we also know they're good cricketers. They're good, really good young men, and they're good cricketers, so who have had a tough time. So, yeah, it's going to be, there's certainly, as I said, there's opportunities for the guys in the team. There's also opportunities for guys who are good blokes and make a lot of runs.
Justin, you said, talked about batting and how much you love it. I mean, given what happened today with sort of similar sort of dismissals, do you feel like you need to get your hands a little bit dirty, or do you think you need to go down that coaching mechanism with this team especially?
I must admit, I'm a batting tragic, always have been, and that's probably the only thing I know. You know, hopefully I'm a good dad. Hopefully I'm a decent bloke, but I like batting. So, I was up till after day two, I was up till about midnight watching batting videos, looking at ways we can get better. As I said, the only way, what I know about Test cricket, I've been through all this before in the sense as an individual player, you come in, it's really hard. And the only way you work it out is by problem solving and working hard. Well, that was my formula as a player, and all the great players, I was okay player, but the great players I've been lucky to play with, they're just really good problem solvers. They work it out and they work really hard, and they're brilliant at concentration. So if I can take what the lessons I learned from a player into problem solving of making the team better, well, hopefully we'll go okay. We can be patient and go okay.
First innings runs in Test cricket are pretty fundamental, and the average score for the Australian Test team this year since the Ashes is 230, I think, about that. So, you know, how can you kind of, I suppose, make up that gap between that and your sort of your 350 scores where you do win Test matches?
Yeah, of course, Daniel. We knew we were so well prepared. We knew what we had to do over here. First innings, we had to field well. We had to take our catches. Our first innings runs in the subcontinent are massive, and I think how we remedy that, they're the outcomes, is we've got to get our batting techniques and our batting skill better. It's pretty much as simple. We've got two guys on debut who are learning that ropes. Finchie's played two games now of Test cricket, which are much different than playing T20 or One Day cricket. It's a very different game, although he adapted well. We just have to keep either finding players who can make hundreds, or keep improving, working hard on our basic games. Call it technique, call it basic games, and our concentration. If you do get those things right, you usually make hundreds, and if players make hundreds, you usually have good partnerships. And if you have good partnerships and hundreds, you usually get good first inning scores. So that's what we've got to keep chipping away at. Keeps us awake at night, but that's okay. I never used to sleep when I first started playing Test cricket either, so I slept better as time went on. Hopefully that'll be the same in this case.
For players making runs, say, in the ODIs, as opposed to Shield cricket, because they don't really get a chance, would you still be looking at those for the Test?
Yeah, it's really, because I think One Day cricket now is very different than T20 cricket. And what we're finding, you look at the trend in One Day cricket as well. In England, we didn't bat 50 overs. The art of batting for periods of time, and in One Day cricket, and we've got some coming up against South Africa, the batting, you've got to be able to bat deep. So if players can, Aaron Finch is a perfect example. You know, we picked him from really being the best T20 player in the world because he can make hundreds. He's showing he can make hundreds. He can make hundreds in One Day cricket. So yeah, we'll look at all that, and it'll become, when it comes to picking the first Test match against India, we're going to be, mate, it's a daunting challenge, isn't it? Really. So that's okay. That's what we're about, and we can only do what we can do. So if they're playing the three one-dayers, usually the T20s and the Test teams are a bit apart, besides Finchie at the moment. We can only do what we can do.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks, Justin. Thanks, Justin. Thanks, Justin. We'll catch up later on. Yeah, thanks, mate.